Hello, Josie.
Hello, Mel. I'm pretty sure you're coming out of two ears for everyone else. You're not for me.
Why do I keep starting in that weird high-pitched, sort of weird little mouse voice? I don't know.
Like, hi.
No, it's not like, hi. It's like, hi, Josie. It's like, it's like, you know, when you have the phone voice.
Yes, I love your phone voice.
My phone voice.
You did it yesterday.
Hello, this is Melissa from Pedestrian TV. Just inquiring.
As per my email.
Let's just massage the situation.
I hate that saying.
I hate literally everything about any business meeting conversations.
Yeah. Aligning.
You know, when I was up traveling, I would like obviously be in cafes in the morning because I didn't have a job. and I would like, especially in like the major cities like Perth and Canberra and stuff, I'd be sitting in there and there was always fucking like this pair of like business people powwowing about something. And it was so mentally draining. Like, you would be sitting there listening and it's like you could just cut that 2 hour long breakfast meeting bullshit down to like 5 minutes of someone saying, I want you to buy this. And the other person saying, we'll buy it if you do this for us. And them saying, we will do that for you. Shake hands, the end. But it's just all this bullshit and the words. And it's like, I don't even think you know what the words are. It's like, I want to pause time and
they're
go in and
like
be like,
buzzwords.
Do you know what flesh this out means in this conversation? Like, what are you fleshing out here?
Yeah.
What are we fleshing out?
My brother works in the public service, so you can imagine how many dumb meetings he goes to and stupid words. His favourite is people go, I think we need to leverage our synergies.
That's an amazing one. What does that mean?
It doesn't mean anything.
What is a synergy and what are you leveraging?
Like, I feel like I'm in, do you remember Dilbert, the cartoon it was all about?
Vaguely, yes. It was like an office culture. Yeah.
He's like, I feel like I'm in Dilbert. Like, it's just, or like Office Space. It's just like made up shit. He's like, is this performance art or like a sketch on Full Frontal? This or is like, this real life? Unfortunately, that's his real life. And he goes to like 10 of those meetings a day.
I just imagine 10 meetings a day of that.
Oh, my God.
Literally, I would rather bang my head repeatedly on a table for 10 hours.
Yeah.
I would rather do that. It would be more fun and interesting.
Don't work in the tax office.
Who knows what could happen in that, in a meeting that long, which is just people saying synergy to each other until we all die. I know exactly what's going to happen.
And tabling stuff.
I know. Oh, tabling stuff. I went for a job years ago. Last week, no,
I was
years
like,
ago.
Please do.
And I got down
on
to like the final two, and it was a social media job. And at the time, I hadn't worked in social media, but like I did work with social at my old job, and like I'd been very much in like a role that involved a lot of ideas stuff and like knowing your audience and all that shit.
Yeah.
So I probably got to that last round because I knew I had a lot of good ideas. But the last round was an interview and it was all very technical and they just used all the dumb shit words that people use that mean really basic things that they can just say in a basic way, but they decide like ROI. We don't need to say ROI. Why don't we just say getting the audience interested? Like what is the return on that for us?
Yes.
You know, you don't say ROI. Like, I know that means return on investment, but like you could just say that.
There's so many of those acronyms. I just have to Google them.
Yes. I've always had to Google them. And then so in this job, I didn't get it. And they were like, oh, look, there was someone else that was like a bit more qualified. And I'm thinking, were they fucking more qualified because they knew what ROI meant? Because that's the stupidest reason. Yes. Until I'm still dirty about it.
Yeah.
But like, just why are we just using words like synergy? I just don't think synergy needs to be ever used.
I don't
want to
leverage it either.
I don't want to leverage anything. I don't want to know. I don't want it called an asset. I don't want to call it ideation.
Ideation.
That's an idea.
Scalable.
That's just ideas.
Scalable.
Ideation is idea with nation put on the end or whatever. Asian. Like scalation.
Scalation.
I just want to like tableation this ideation. If we could just scalation that back.
So we can leverage our
for the ROI.
Synergization. It's so annoying.
Oh, God. I anyway, so if any of you actually work in an industry where you have to do that, I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry for you.
I feel for you. I think you need 10 Kit Kats.
Yes.
A day to get through it.
Speaking of Kit Kats, we'd like people to send us some.
Oh, my God. If you're listening to this and you work for any company that has food, can you send it?
Please send
it.
We're desperate for snacks.
We'll talk about it for at least 30 seconds. depending on what it is. Like, don't send me, actually send me dog food. I have a dog, but like, yeah. Like don't send me like health bars. No, I don't want a health bar.
Nothing healthy.
I mean, healthy, like I would take a big platter of fresh fruit.
Mm.
If it came from a company, not just from you, like don't make us food in your home and send it. That would be weird. Don't get weird.
I'm just like, if you work for Kit Kat, send
unless
us Kit Kat.
You are part of the CWA, then
fuck, I love
I will
the CWA.
Accept the most terribly packaged cookies. If you
yes.
put your cookies in an envelope and send them, and I'll eat them.
They'll just be dust. Yeah. You can inject them.
I'll just shake it into my mouth.
Injecting cookies.
Yeah. I'll literally shake that dust into my mouth. I would. I am obsessed with the CWA.
Oh, have you been to the stores in Tasmania?
I have never been to the store.
Oh, my God. I, like, make a beeline as soon as I'm there.
I'm so jealous that you even knew that existed. I've never been there when
I was
in Tasmania.
Oh, my God. I have all the cookbooks. I'm obsessed with CWA because I don't like cooking, but I love baking.
Yes. So it's very calming.
I love it. I get into, like, a nice flow state.
Yeah.
I like to follow the directions and then at the end there's something nice. And because you're baking it, I find that I can clean up during that process.
Yeah.
So then it's not like when you make dinner and then you eat it and then it's late at night and you're like, oh, there's a fucking kitchen full of dishes to do, which I'm now dealing with thanks to podcasts. Now I'm like, I'll do the dishes.
Josie's become like master chef.
I am. I'm like cooking all the time, clean. Like Julian will go, you cooked, I'll clean. I'm like, no, I've got an episode of Case File.
You're like, sit down. Stop trying to do work for me, Julian.
I'm to do it.
It's mine.
He's like, you could just sit here and listen to My Favorite Murder. I'm like, no.
Like, I need to do something with my hands.
I need to do it. I find it weird to just sit still and listen to a podcast.
Well, this is my thing.
If you're not driving or you're on a bus, so you're doing the dishes or you're cooking or like cleaning, I'll put it in my headphones and vacuum.
Yeah.
But if I'm just sitting there, I find that really strange.
I can't even do it like that. Like you know, the only time I listen is when I'm driving.
Yeah.
And only really on long drives, which I do lots more of now because I'm dating someone that lives like completely other town to me. But like normally I go through long periods where I don't listen. And I was listening, I caught up on so much when I did my trip because I'd, you know, obviously was just driving all day every day. But then when I'm just working and life's normal, nothing.
You don't get a chance.
So I'm always behind on everything and then I catch up and then I want to talk about it and you're like, that happened so long
That's
ago.
That's so old.
That podcast
Serial
is months
is
old.
5 years old.
But anyway, CWA folks, send us tea cake in a box unwrapped.
Melting
I don't care.
Moments,
I'll
biscuits,
eat it.
The jam, the knitted goods. I always buy the knitted stuff for my friends with babies. The
a
little
fresh
jumpers.
Cream sponge cake.
Fuck yes.
Just put it in a box. I'm cool with that.
It's my dream to move to the country and join the CWA.
Yes, same.
And like be the like scary president.
Ooh, yes. No, the vice president who's like vying for the leadership.
Like Reese Witherspoon in election vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like you've got to overthrow Tracy Gladys to, you know, get full power.
Because the youth are going to take over the CWA because all those oldies.
Watch out, oldies. We're coming for you with our questionably better tea cake. We don't know.
I love it. Maybe I'll bake something soon from my CWA book.
Well, I went to accidentally when I was I went through a really shitty breakup a couple of years ago and it was like right before Anzac Day and so I was like I need to get the fuck out of Sydney.
Oh, I'm thinking about Anzac biscuits. I'm like yum.
Well, it does lead to yum.
Right.
Okay. So I was like I need to get away and no one could go away.
Mm.
So I just took off on my own. I went to Kosciuszko National Park and it's actually so beautiful in summer.
Mm.
And like, well, this is obviously autumn.
It is
just
gorgeous.
Like the walks are beautiful up there. Like you can go right up where normally it's all snow and just go on these massive walks. It's beautiful.
The light is so beautiful there.
The light and the air, everything about it, amazing. And so it was really like healing for me.
I mean, bit of a mini Eat, Pray, Love vibe.
It was. I literally was like messaging people being like, this is so fucking Eat, Pray, Love. I can't even deal with it. But on the way back, I just happened, like I was driving through Jindabyne and they were having a CWA bake sale for Anzac Day.
Oh my God.
I bought so much stuff and then I was like on this sugar high the whole way home because all I was eating was Anzac cookies and like melting moments and
melting moments.
Little fairy cakes and fucking.
They're the best.
Just hook it to my veins, CWA cakes in my veins.
It's just like. If people don't know what we're talking about, CWA is the
Country
Women's Association. So there's kind of one in every small town.
Yes.
They have like the headquarters. Yeah. They don't just bake. They talk about like issues.
Oh yeah. It's like an amazing, like, it's, it was an so amazing great initiative back in the day in the ye olde settler yes days for like
old-timey
women who
like
worked.
That woman that was sweeping out the hut in the Wilga
Waterhole.
Yeah, Water
she was probably
podcast
the CWA president.
She probably started it.
She would have, because she seemed, because she was capable, remember?
She was so capable.
Bush capable.
Bush capable. We
also
her
in the capable hotness category.
She being was bush hot as.
She was, that's probably why he was attracted to her. He was like, fuck, this girl can fucking do shit.
She can sweep that hut.
She
like
swept that
business
hut. She tended that. Well, I mean, you know. But she also probably could wrangle horses because oh, that was yeah the vibe I got from
like
her.
Like a McLeod's Daughters, but old-timey yeah vibe.
Like that's why Claire from McLeod's Daughters oh was the best one.
Yes, she was just so capable.
So, and capable, but also like, you know, she was just her own person. It wasn't yeah like she didn't act like a man
no
to be capable. She was just like
she just
like
did
her
what she had to do.
She was a
she
bit of a tomboy, but
she had
was
to get Drover's Run happening.
Yes.
Like, she just fucking mucked in and did it.
Yeah.
God, I'm still not over her death.
I know. Kate, when we were rewatching it, I missed that episode because Kate went ahead of me and she sent me. I got home and she's opening that, she's crying and opening the fridge looking for food and just like crying. And I'm like, whoa, what happened? And she's like, Claire just died on McLeod's Daughters and I can't handle it. And
so
I filmed
bad
the whole thing. It was so funny to me that she was so upset about a character's death.
It was like,
it was harrowing.
The death that stopped a nation.
It was. Anyway, none of that was what we
Should
planned
we
talk to
talk about. More current things.
We can't even focus. Like, we were like, let's do mystery minutes to talk about all the bullshit from the podcast. And then we just like add extra bullshit yeah to the bullshit and then they yeah become as long as podcast
so
episodes.
And then we'll have another side podcast, which is like even more bullshit. That's
I just
not
feel
related
like
to anything.
We're going to get to the live show. P.S. We've got a live show Friday,
yes,
May the 3rd.
Buy tickets.
Sydney, Redfern. Yeah. Tickets are $20.
If you're listening from Sydney, you're free on May the 3rd and you haven't bought a ticket yet.
I'll be personally offended.
I am deeply offended.
I am.
Like, get there now.
We consider you our friends.
GiantDwarf.com.au. I don't know what
yes
the forward slash is.
No,
you'll find it on there.
It's /AllAussieMysteryHour.
Yeah. Go there. Find it.
Yeah.
Spend your $20.
It's
and come
not,
and
it's
see
a
us.
No, it's a no-brainer.
It's a
do you know that
if you
meme
really like us, you do it.
Do you know that meme that everyone shares in the group, Facebook group, by the way, All Aussie Mystery Hour? You can find it on pedestrian.tv's Facebook page. The meme, and it's like what it's like when you're listening to podcasts and
yes
these two girls sitting with it. That works in reverse because I genuinely sit here talking and it's
yeah
like you guys are the little podcast machine and
yeah
I keep looking at it.
Yeah, we're like, guys, buy a ticket. It's just this black piece of plastic blinking at us.
It's like this conversation with you that you guys don't talk back to us.
Yeah.
And vice versa. So basically what I'm saying is you're all our friends and it would be very rude as a friend of mine and Josie's to not come
yes
to the live show
because
if you're
we
free
want to do them in other cities too, but to do that it has to be like a packed house in Sydney.
Yes.
So everybody in Sydney come.
Yeah.
It's a Friday night. Like,
what are you
nice
doing?
It's nice to have an excuse.
Do we go out on Friday like nights anymore in Sydney? I don't think we
and
do.
It won't be a late one. You know, if you're tired, you could just sit there. We'll
yeah
chat for a bit.
Just
and then you get to go.
Put those Homer Simpson glasses on where your eyes are open.
Yes.
And just sleep.
Or tape.
Just sleep.
Tape your eyes up like
yeah
that.
It's okay if you yeah want to sleep through our show.
Just
be
come
there.
Yeah. Just come to the show.
The desperation levels of us
yeah
are getting just through the roof with the live show.
Yeah.
But what I was actually going to say was we're very much at risk that we're just going to talk shit
no,
the
we
entire
can't
2 hours and we'll get to like cut off time and we'll be like, oh, fuck,
we need to
do
get
anything
through two mysteries.
Yeah, we're doing back-to-back mysteries for you.
So we can't.
No, we
crap
won't
on for too much.
We'll have, well, we don't have our mummager there because she's away, but
yeah
we'll have a second mummager. We'll find someone to be our
stand-in mummager.
Stand-in mummager to like just literally do the cutting throat motion of like
on
fucking
Josie.
Shut
on to, I wonder who will go first. Will we flip a coin?
Flip a coin.
Although yours will probably be more zesty, so maybe I should go first.
That's a conversation for us to take away from the podcast. What was your first
about
thing on our topic list?
Versace.
Oh, my God. Okay.
This is all you. I've
oh, God.
It.
I forgot we were talking about this. I'm just – okay. So I have to – like, confession time, I haven't actually gotten past second episode because – no, because we've got Bachelor in fucking Paradise.
Yes, it's taken about
we've
lives
had –
read our recaps on pedestrian.tv.
Yes,
if
please
you like
do
Batchy.
Yeah.
Or if you don't like Batchy because we're not particularly nice about it.
No, you could – really everyone. They're accessible for the
yeah
world.
Yeah. Anyway,
non-denominational recaps. anyway, so this is, I'm talking about the assassination of Gianni Versace, the HBO series that's now on Netflix.
Yeah.
Is it HBO?
I think it was FX.
Okay, it's not HBO. Ignore me. It's the one done by Ryan Murphy. Yeah. So there was the OJ Simpson one and Versace. And it feels weird because I felt like I remember this conversation about this show last year.
Yeah, because
like
it was probably on Fox
early
Hill.
Last year.
It was on Fox. Yeah. Hill.
And then now they've acquired it on Netflix, which makes it more accessible.
Yeah, it means the masses are getting it.
It means we're all watching it now. It is so fucking good. I've been like badgering Josie to watch it. It's just like even from the opening sequence is just Versace himself walking through his, like waking up in his palatial bedroom, walking through his ridiculously opulent house.
Yes, because he was very opulent.
It's disgusting. It's like gold leaf has vomited all over the house. Like, it's just ridiculous. He like picks up this like pink glass of water from like a man, like I almost want to say he's a shirtless man, but he may have a shirt on standing with a tray. He may as well have a shirt off because that's the vibe he's giving
he's
off.
He's just there to be pretty.
He's got a mental vibe of shirtless.
Yeah.
And just waltzing through it, puts on this, I banged the microphone, puts on this ridiculous robe. Just, you know, it's visually ridiculously stunning, but then also he's nailed this sort of mid-90s kind of Miami beach vibes, like all the roller skaters and like these women wearing like big gold gaudy jewelry and red lips and like white suits and like
pink outfits
and like even where Andrew Cunanan, who is the guy that murders Versace, which you definitely know from episode one. So even where he's staying, he stays at this like seedy hotel, but the outside of it is this sort of
pastel
Barbie pink.
Oh, I love all the colors
it's
of
beautiful.
Miami.
It's just so beautiful. And all the actors are amazing. Penelope Cruz is a massive standout as Donatella, but also the guy that used to be on Glee, whose name I always forget, he plays Andrew Cunanan and he's amazing. He's still hot. I'm sorry.
What's his name?
I can't remember. I had to Google it last time, honestly, and it still didn't ring a bell to me. But the thing that I think makes it so good is that I didn't realize that Andrew Cunanan was a serial killer.
Yeah.
I forgot about that fact. It wasn't like he just killed Versace like randomly, like a crazed fan. He literally was a serial killer that people were on the hunt for. Like the FBI were looking for him. And it kind of looks a lot into his life as well as Versace's life. It's
Darren Criss.
Sorry, I just thought of it. That's the one. anyway, it's so fucking good. I have it like, it's a real problematic crush on Andrew Cunanan in it. It's just, he's so scary, but he's also just got this sexiness about him. Like Darren Criss is a babe. That's part of it.
Yeah.
But also he's like got this weird, like, sexy 80s, like 90s confidence.
Yeah, right.
And I don't know how to explain it. It's like you're like, I see how he managed to manipulate people. It's a very Ted Bundy vibes. It's like, I see how you managed to manipulate people because you're very good looking and you play up that, play on that. You really play on your looks.
Yeah, you use it to your advantage. Yeah. I really want to watch it.
I don't care. I'm fine to say that serial killers are hot when they are hot.
Yes.
Because I don't think that says I'm condoning them fucking brutally murdering people.
No, and it's not like going like, oh my God, I have a mulatto so hot. No. Because clearly he's not.
He's not.
That would just be saying you find him hot because of what he did. Like all those women that write to killers in prison.
Yeah.
Like the whole appeal is what they did.
Yes.
But Ted Bundy and this Andrew, what is it, Cunanan?
Yeah.
They're different because they use the looks as a weapon, which we said you said in that article before, about Ted Bundy. That's
you said that line. That was your line.
Did I?
Yeah, you did. But that is exactly the thing. And I think when you're talking about serial killers being hot, I don't think there's a problem looking at them as physical beings. Like they're physically quite attractive.
Yeah,
you're attracted to their
walking among
charisma
us as normal people in inverted commas.
And then drawing the line at no one should be murdering people and murdering is not sexy.
Yeah.
Murdering's not sexy. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
So, like, that's that's the thing. It's you're looking at them purely from a, like a superficial level about their charisma and their physical looks and then not looking deeper at, like, what they fucking did. Like, it's, I don't think that's – anyway, whatever. I'm just – Who cares?
Who cares?
So that's my thing. Watch it. It's I'm apparently gets even football. Better. Like everyone in the group was telling me when I started going on about it that it gets even better. So I'm pretty excited to watch some more of that.
Yeah, I'll watch it at some point.
What are you watching? Are you watching anything?
Well, I'm watching a lot of football. That's why I haven't watched Versace because footy season's in full swing. But I'm listening to a few things. Mm. So that's what I wanted to talk about today. So obviously you're waiting, and I totally get why, and I almost waited, but I couldn't, to the Belanglo series of case file. So it's up to part three. It's fucking amazing. Like,
yeah.
I'm glad I didn't wait, because it's almost like the old school days of watching TV and not having Netflix or Stan or whatever.
And things are unfolding.
And having to wait until like, oh my God, next episode.
Yeah.
Which will kind of seem like Game of Thrones really brought that old school thing of like, I have a friend who after every episode he'll write on Facebook with no context. He'll just write, God damn it, next episode, please. And we all know he's talking about Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And it really did bring that back, like the whole cliffhanger thing.
Yeah.
And Casey, old case file, he's really like ending them on like amazing kind of cliffhanger notes of where you're like, even though you know what happens, you still just want that next episode to come. It's so well done. It's so sad. It's so the first episodes, without spoiling, we obviously know what happens. But it's all kind of about how the foreigners went missing and then like their families back home. And you talked about it when you did the episode on him, and it really hurt my feelings then. But just thinking about how they were kind of like, oh, maybe they're busy, because there was no email, there was no mobile phone, no social media. It was just like, oh, they're just having a really good time. And then it was like 6 weeks passed, and they couldn't get police to take them seriously, because it was just like, oh, they're just having fun.
Yep.
And it's like, no, my kid wouldn't do that. My kid wouldn't just leave me hanging. One woman even came to meet her daughter, Simone Schmidl's mum, I think, to meet her in Melbourne. And that's where Simone was going. And she decided to hitchhike there. And her friend actually back in Sydney was like, please don't hitchhike, please don't hitchhike. And then the mum arrived and the daughter wasn't there. So she was just kind of like, okay, and went like into the city in Melbourne, no sign of her. So she called that friend in Sydney, and the friend's stomach just sunk, because she was like, she hitchhiked, like I told her not to.
Yeah.
So they immediately thought the worst, but the police were like, no, it's fine. It was just like, so that they kind of got the foreign police to put the pressure on the Australian police and be like, please look into these.
Yeah.
And they didn't look into them for a long time.
Well, it's that complicated thing, I think, because that, like you said, that time of, you know, technology was that you didn't have all this access to immediate contact with people from the other side of the world. And then add in backpacker culture in general is to kind of go a bit off the grid.
Yes.
And like the whole thing about it is that people go on these big trips and, you know, they're kind of in areas with no reception, and like, and there would have been even less reception
Exactly.
then.
So they like, just, it's like, when do you start panicking?
Well, that's it. Like, cause you kind of go, okay, well, like even like, I think I said when I did Malat that my sister was traveling in Europe at the time and would go like a week without contacting us, and that's with all this technology, but just because she was, you know, time zones, doing shit, it's all those element factors all together. And so it's like, that's the thing, is you wouldn't start worrying for weeks back then, and then when you do start worrying, law enforcement's gonna worry even less, because they're just like, well, they're probably just, you know, in Uluru with no reception or something.
Yeah. I think, I don't know if I said this when you did it, but it, my dad even got angry at me once. My dad is very mild-mannered, like a very level-headed person. And he lives in Newcastle. I live in Sydney, so it's hardly like across the world. But he tried to call me a couple of times, and like I think he emailed me once, and I was just like living my life. And then when I finally did talk to him, he had a go at me, which is not like him. And he was just like, you need to remember that I'm in another city, and like, you know, I almost called your mum.
Yeah.
I think he ended up asking my brother, but he was kind of like, you know, when I hadn't heard from you for 9 days, I worry. Like, I think about you every moment. You're my kid. It's like, I know you don't think about me every moment, but it'd be nice if you thought about me once in 9 days.
Yeah.
So now I always answer the phone when my dad calls. And if, you know, it's been a couple of days, then I'll pick up the phone and do it, because I'm just like, I was mortified.
Yeah.
Because I just didn't think that way.
Yeah.
And there's probably so many stories of backpackers that fucking didn't talk to their parents for 6 weeks and their parents were over there freaking out. And then they're like, oh, hi, sorry, I've just been here, just like traveling around.
Mm.
And the parents were so relieved, probably very angry. But yeah, it's really, he's done a really good job, or whoever's written it and researched it.
Yeah.
I didn't actually check that. I shouldn't always give him the credit. And it's prompted me to buy Sins of the Brother because he references it a lot. And it's just like, I opened it last night, tiny print, and it's all like, it's just going to be like Casey times a million. Like, yeah. There's so much to it.
Like super detailed.
I'm actually like really excited because I'm a sicko. But it's great. I'm going to see. Hang on. The Langlo. So he did research it. Anonymous Host researched it.
Oh.
And Elsha McGill has written it. Well, that's part two. I wonder if they're all the same. That's interesting.
Yeah, Anonymous Host isn't usually the one that does do the research. Interesting.
And there's a lot. Like, there's so much to it. But, yeah, they've done a really good job.
We put a sign on the room next door to basically say we can hear your entire conversation if you talk loudly, so shut up. And we just saw people outside looking at it like really confused, like quizzically, just like, does this mean I can't use the room? Or
you can use it, just don't scream. Just don't about private issues.
Giant screaming talks about synergy. That's all I ask. But you also said you'd listen to Murder Squad.
Yes, so that's the other one
which I haven't started yet.
It is really interesting.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a, I think, unique. I mean, I would have listened to Paul Holes talk about anything.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't have cared if he just did a case file type thing where he talked about mysteries.
Yeah.
And crimes. But it's actually, like, really playing on his and Billy Jensen's skills and, like, their interests. So yeah. Billy Jensen has been involved in a lot of kind of crowdsourcing for information on unsolved crimes. He's actually, like, solved crimes like using Facebook and stuff. He's an investigative journo.
Yeah.
And then obviously Paul Holes worked in like cold case unit as an investigator. So together it's really cool. The first episode Georgia is on and the second one Karen's on. I'm not sure if they're really necessary as much as I love them. Karen just kind of like laughed a few times in this one and I forgot she was there and she's kind of like, like that, and I'm like, what the hell?
Do you think that they, so are they just in the first couple of episodes?
I think so. There's only been two. Oh, so okay. I'm thinking they were just maybe
like easing kind of, the way in.
Yeah, and kind of like piggybacking on that interest in Karen and Georgia. But I mean, I love them and I don't think that they're really needed. But I don't know, maybe the third one will have another guest. But yeah, basically they talk about, it's a cool combo because they talk about the crime, but then there's also elements of it that need help from the public. So the first one's this guy who took a lot of photos of women and he actually did kill some. Mm. But when they like investigated his house, there's like 54 women that they can't identify and they want to make sure they're okay. I think they have identified a lot because they made up a big poster a few years ago and circulated that, but it was before like Facebook was really big.
Yeah.
I think it was like 10 years ago. So now they're doing it this way. So, and they get all the investigators from those cases. They're on board with it. So it's all legit. And it's like they've got some ground rules, like don't dox anyone, don't name names, don't contact the victims' families. It's just like, just show your mum who lived in California in the 70s.
Yeah, it's just using their audience as almost like a way to, because it's like a lot of the crime podcasts, that's how they get solved. It's like with Teacher's Pet. I remember when I first started listening to that, there was stuff that was happening in like the first episode is very like top line and then he starts talking about the school.
Mm.
And once he starts talking about the school, then the next episode I'm pretty sure it was like people had contacted him because
same
they had
with
gone
Hamish.
To the school. Yeah.
People came
like
forward.
They'd gone there or they knew people that had gone there or they were like connected to people, you know, and it's like really that's one of the beautiful things about podcasts is that you kind of put this out there.
Yeah.
It can spark people's
memories.
It can like reintroduce interest to cases that people had sort of had just fallen to the wayside because time, you know, like the difficulty is like if they reach a sort of, you know, a roadblock in the investigation, things you know, with all the shit that goes on in the world, it's like it's easy for that to just...
Yeah, well, then they're probably put on another case.
Well, that's it. And like, so then it just sits there, but it's like over time, like you were saying, like once the internet, Facebook gets bigger, social media is a huge factor, you know, all of these things where like message can get out further and more personal.
Yeah, so it's really cool. The second one is, again, about identifying some victims of a known killer. So it's, it's really interesting like that. Plus it's like a good thing to get like justice for these people and like maybe get the family some closure.
Yeah.
Because some of them might not even know that their, you know, sister had a photo taken by this guy who ended up killing people and she's missing. Then they can put those together. I think both the killers are actually deceased.
Yeah.
But it's still like... can still kind of pin things on them.
Well, yeah, and it's also like I suppose it's more even like you said about the closure for families to identify a victim so that, you know.
Yes.
And even identifying a victim and like being able to say this was that person is in a way kind of a nice closure.
Yes, yeah.
As opposed to that person just being a missing person. Yeah,
and thinking did they run away or what happened.
Like as shitty as it is, it's like closure is something.
Have you listened to Bear Brook?
No, I really want to.
I feel like the second Murder Squad is the Bear Brook case. I haven't listened to it either because they mentioned Bear Brook Park, but I'm like, maybe there's lots of crimes happen there. Surely there's not more than one. Maybe it's just a really bad place, but I'm guessing it is. It's these bodies found in barrels there. But, yeah, it's really good as well.
Interesting. And then your last one was Mr. Cool.
Yes, Mr. Cool, the show.
The show. Oh, yeah, fuck. Yeah, so we got this email the other day from Channel 9 and it was basically saying that Australian crime
stories.
Yeah, Australian Crime Stories, the show, is covering Mr. Cool.
Yeah, so which is cool.
Well, it is cool because I like love podcasts, obviously, but then I also always want to put like photographic faces to names or footage and things, you know. It's like when I listen to Serial, my favorite thing to do was to Google like, where's the Best Buy? I want to see the car. Was it Best Buy?
Best Buy?
Yeah. I want to see the car park. I want to see Leakin Park.
What's your biggest story for Pedestrian? Dirty John photos.
Dirty John photos. Like I think everyone wants to see the faces of victims, the faces of the murderer.
Yeah. Mr. Cruel. They want to personalize it, I suppose.
Yeah.
Can you not look at that again?
And there's something about like pictures that makes it even more sort of impactful, I suppose. Like Mr. Cruel is like you listen to it and you're like, fuck, that's fucked up and the details are fucked. And horrible. And then you see the pictures of like, you know, with that the mother that's crying and it's just devastating. Yeah. It puts a sort of a personal face to the tragedy and stuff. And anyway, so they're doing that.
Yeah.
I don't even know when that is.
Sunday.
on Sunday. Okay.
Sunday after 60 Minutes. And it's on at 9 o'clock. And then it'll be on 9 Now, which is their streaming thing. And they have a woman from Nine told me, because I sent her the story, it was like, hey, look at this. She told me they've got the whole series of Australian crime stories on Nine Now. So if you haven't watched other ones, they've done a bunch of
obviously Aussie cases. Because I don't watch them on TV. Like it's rare that I watch free-to-air anymore. Like because I just don't have time. Like I'm not.
And like it's rare that you'll be in that place at that time.
Yeah.
So that's why I like that they're all there because I think I'll go back and because they've done a bunch of obviously important cases.
And our sweet friend in the podcast, well, I've forgotten his name.
Daniel.
Daniel, who always does IT guide. God, I'm obsessed. Always Mystery Hour TV Guide because he always puts them in there and I'm always like, oh, I really want to watch all these things, but I just don't – like it's rare that I sit down at night and watch TV and if I am, I'm usually in the middle of a show, so I'll go and watch – like I said, like I'll be watching Versace or something.
And I'm watching my dad's shows, which is just like old men talking about football. And I get fired up and yell at the screen.
But, yeah, it's good to have like, so I would way prefer things being on streaming services than.
So that's good. Cool. So it'll be up. I think it goes up on the streaming service the same night. But, yeah, it's interesting to kind of bring him back into the spotlight. Yeah. And, again, maybe people watching will be like, oh, wait, hang on. I was there at that time and this bloke was acting weirdly. He had a black mask with just two eye holes and mm-hmm. oh my God, can you imagine?
So fucked.
But, you know, someone knows something.
Yeah.
In all of these cases. So let's just – I think that's really like Australia's can we solve this please? Like yeah. it's one of the top ones of yeah. just like Beaumont Kids is up there.
Yeah.
It's just like who was he?
And like, it's a horrible, horrible thought. There's nothing more horrible of a thought than somebody doing heinous crimes, committing heinous crimes and just fucking getting away with it.
It's the worst.
Just living their life.
We've said this before because he was believed at one point that he might have been the Golden State Killer.
Yeah.
He's at, like when they caught him, they realized he wasn't. But like, yeah, he's 1,000 years old. But I just love that he lived to see the day where they fucking approached him outside his house and arrested him
yeah.
for being the Golden State Killer. Like, fuck you. And yes, you got away with it for our whole lives. I think he basically stopped in like the mid-80s when he had kids. But, yeah, you got away with it, but you didn't get away with it forever.
No, and I think that there's a satisfaction in that because I think for murderers, surely there's some sort of like sick
yes
glee in committing horrible crimes and getting away with it and then living your normal life.
Yeah.
So it would almost be embarrassing to get caught. And I think fuck yeah, like get caught.
Yep.
And like have your memory be that you fucking murdered all these people, not that you just lived a nice life and were a nice family man. Like fuck you. You don't get to have that. You killed a whole bunch of people, you raped a whole bunch of women.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Like it's so I don't give a shit. Like you shouldn't get to like leave this life and have your memory be like a nice one. Yeah. You shouldn't.
And so I really hope Mr. Krull's alive and they arrest him.
Yeah.
But even if he's dead, the closure again.
Oh, for families. Would be great. Absolutely. For families. Like I think
And those three of the victims are still alive.
Yeah.
So it's huge for them to go, this is the man that did that to me and ruined my life.
Yeah. And I think when something is unknown, it's like just the common thing when something's unknown, it becomes almost mystical.
Mm.
And so for them, it's like to put a human face to this person that did horrible things to them would probably in their minds make him a smaller person as well. Like it's not this...
Yeah.
You know, mysterious
like, oh, it's just you. Thing. It's not this mysterious monster.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a I mean, I'm sure it's still human. Not great, obviously, but there'd be something in that.
Yeah, so I'm excited to watch that
at
some point.
I feel like there's just way too many things to watch or listen to. And every time we do these, I'm like, there's more things for me to add to my list.
I know. But come into the group, tell us if you've. Well, people have been talking about Belanglo and Versace. A couple of people talked about Murder Squad.
Mm.
But, if you're listening, you're enjoying or you're not enjoying, tell us why you hate Murder Squad.
Yeah, we can handle it.
I'll cry to myself. make sure you tune in for Mr. Krull or watch it on Nine Now whenever it suits you because that's what streaming is.
It's the beauty of streaming.
Do you have anything else to discuss?
That's it for me.
All right. See ya.
See ya.